saco ganas, dilo ye, llame, llame, bravo se. Vive aquí y de procasito. Divia Gian ride procasito. Prima bhakti jaha hoite abidya vinasa jate. Prima bhakti jaha hoite abidya vinasa jate. Bebe gai jahara charito. Bebe gai jahara charito. Oh, Sri Guru Karuna Sindhu Adama Janara Bhando. Guru Karuna Sindhu Adama Janara Bando. Holokanas Lokera Jivana. Lokanas Lokera Jivana. Ha bravo cordoglia, dejo more para chaya. Ha bravo cordoglia, dejo more para chaya. E vejas gusudribu vana. Vejas gusudribu vana. Shila Prabhupada Patita Bhavana. Dua Pade Laila Charana. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Bravo Bad, Jaya Bravo Bad. Jaya Jaya Bravo Bad, Bravo Bad, Bravo Bad, Jaya Bravo Bad. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine.
Prabhupada.
Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर दत्ता वृंद जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर दत्त वृंद श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर शिवशदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore 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 Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Gauramitai 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 Jaya Gauramitai Jaya Jaganna, Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gora Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Gora Hari Bol.
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraj Akacharya Astotara Satashishi Madhi Sivayin Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Astotara Satashimat His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Iskon Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki प्रिंस कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव आशादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की द मोस्ट ब्यूटिफुल लॉर्डशिप शिशि किशोर किशोरी की परम करुणा शिशि गौर अनिताय की श्री जगन्नाथ श्री बलदेव श्रीमती सुभद्र महारानी की गरंतरा शिवम भागवतम की निताय गौर प्रेमनंदी ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू शिशि गुरु वंशी गौरंगा
Those feet of our spiritual master are the only way which can attain to pure devotional service. I bow down to his lotus feet with awe and reverence. By his grace one can cross the ocean of material suffering and obtain the mercy of Krishna. My only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. Attachment to his lotus feet is a perfection that fulfills all desires. He opened my dark eyes and filled my heart with transcendental knowledge. He is my Lord, birth after birth. From him a steady prema emanates. By him ignorance is destroyed. The Vedic scriptures sing of his character. Our spiritual master is the ocean of mercy. The poor and the poor and the poor and the poor. O Master, be merciful unto all. Give us a share in your feet. Your fame is the Lord.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhari Girivara Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhari Jasod Nandana Brajajanarandana Jasodanandana Brajajanuranjana. Jamunatiravana Chadi. Jamunatiravana Chadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopijana Balabha Girivara Dhari. Gopijana Balabha Girivara Dhari. Jasodanandana Brajajanaranjana. Jasodanandana Brajajanaranjana. Jamunatiravana Chadi. Jamuna Tiravana Chadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa. Srimad His Divine Grace Sisi. Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Kid. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 7, Chapter 10, Text 14. Ya etat kirtayen mayam. Tvaya gitam idam naraha. Tvam chamam chasmaran kale. Karma bandhat pramuchate. Ya etat kirtayin mayam. Tvaya gitam idam naraha. Tvam chamam chasmaran kale. Karma bandhat pramuchyate. Ya etat kirtayen mayam. Tvaya gitam idam naraha. Tvam chamam chasmarin kale. karma bandhat pramuchyate. Yaha, anyone who, etat, this activity, kirtayet, chants, mayam, unto me, tvaya, by you, gitam, prayers offered, idam, this, Naraha, human being, Tvam, you, Cha, as well as, Mam Cha, me also, Smaran, remembering, Kale, in due course of time, Karma Bandhat, from the bondage of material activities, Pramuchyate becomes free. Translation, one who always remembers your activities and my activities also, and who chants the prayers you have offered, becomes free in due course of time from the reactions of material activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here it is stated that anyone who chants and hears about the activities of Prahlad Maharaj and in relationship with Prahlad's activities, the activities of Nrisimhadev, gradually becomes free from all the bondage of fruitive activities. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita 2.15 and 2.56. Yam hi na vyatayantyete purusham purusharshabha Sama dukha sukham dhiram somritavaya kalpate. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. And dukheshvanu dignamana Sukesho vigata spraha vita raga bhaya krodha stira dhir munir uchate. One who is not disturbed, in spite of the threefold miseries, who is not elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is called the sage of steady mind. A devotee should not be agitated in an awkward position, nor should he feel extraordinarily happy in material opulence. This is the way of expert management of material life. Because a devotee knows how to manage expertly, he is called Jivan Mukta. As Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Iha yasya harir dasye karmana manasa gira nikilas yapivastaso Jivan Mukta sauchate. Translation. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in the service of Krishna, with his body, mind, intelligence, and words, is a liberated person, even within this material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. Because of constantly engaging in devotional service, in any condition of life, a devotee is freed from all material bondage. And finally, Prabhupada quotes a verse from the Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 14. Bhakti punati man nishtha swa pakan api sambhavat. Translation is, even one born in a family of meat eaters is purified if he engages in devotional service. Srila Jiva Goswami cites this verse in logically supporting that anyone who chants about the pure life and activities of Prahlad Maharaj is freed from the reactions of material activities. Yaitat kirtayen mayam tvaya gitam idam naraha tvam cha mam cha smaran kale karma bandhat pramuchyate. When one always remembers your activities and my activities also, and who chants the prayers you have offered, becomes free in due course of time from reactions of material activities. So this is authoritative. This is the personality of Godhead speaking. Pretty special. Just thinking, it would be really nice to have recordings of the personality of Godhead speaking. We're so fortunate, in one sense, fortunate to have this technology properly utilized where we can hear the recordings of Srila Prabhupada. Imagine having a recording of these persons actually speaking everything that's spoken when Maitreya speaks to Vidura, or Shukadeva Goswami speaks to Maharaj Parikshit, or Nrisingadeva speaks to Prahlad, or Prahlad offers his prayers. We had a recording of it. And just listen and listen. So we don't have that audio recording, but we have the literary recording. Because the compiler of Srimad Bhagavatam has such capacity, although he wasn't in the form of Vyasadeva present. He wasn't in that form when this exchange between Prahlad and Nrisingadeva was going on. He had capacity, trikala gya capacity, to reach back in time and be there. And so it's not the playback recording audio, but it's the essence of this exchange. We're very, very fortunate to have access to that. And within that sound vibration, just like many occasions I heard Prabhupada speak this point, where he said, some people say, and he refutes what some people say, some people say, oh, I'll never be so fortunate like Arjuna. Arjuna was personally present with Krishna. He heard Krishna speak, and he became a perfected being. Of course, he was already a perfected being. But I'll never have that opportunity. I'll never be able to hear Krishna speak directly. And some people have that false conception that unless you hear from Krishna directly, as Arjuna heard from Krishna directly, you're a hopeless case, you're a wet rag, just throw it away. Woe is me, I'll never be so fortunate. But then Prabhupada would become very firm and strong and practically, bang the desk and say, not so. Because when Krishna says, and one repeats the words that Krishna says, saying, Krishna said, then it's Krishna speaking. The instrument of Krishna's message becomes the liver of Krishna's message, and it's Krishna speaking. It's very, very firm on this. It's the function of the representative of Krishna to deliver Krishna's message. Prabhupada would give the example sometimes of a postal peon. I mean, the word peon is not very flattering. It's the opposite of flattering. Insignificant peon. But the peon is the servant of someone significant. So if as the postal peon, the mailman, somebody sends a letter, goes to the U.S. postal system, or whatever country you're in, and then the postal peon delivers the message. So there's the author, and there's the deliverer of the message, and then the person receiving it. So the person that wrote the message and the person that receives the message from the person who wrote the message is just direct. My dear friend so-and-so, something, 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 yours truly. So the message is for the receiver, and the postal peon delivers the message. So it's Krishna's speaking the message. So that, they may have, I'm sure they have all kinds of commercial things. Someone comes and sings the message. You get paid to come to your door or something like that and sing a message from the person who wrote the message. But it's the person who wrote the message, anyway, without elaborating too much. This is the personality of Godhead speaking. And when we speak the words that the personality of Godhead is speaking, he's speaking through the person who's repeating the message. Just as Vyasadeva wrote it down, but it's not Vyasadeva's creation, it's the personality of God. So, who's speaking? And there's enormous potency in his speaking, and what he's speaking is primarily two things. It's a benediction, and it's a statement of the process of devotional service. I learned this from my Tattva Sandarbha study. Ashirvad is one of the things that is commonly in scripture, where the person speaking or writing gives his benedictions to or blessings to the reader. So in this case, it's the Sringadev speaking to Prahlad, giving the Sringa blessings. That sounds pretty warm and nice. It's getting the Sringa blessings. So just by reading this verse, we're receiving the blessing that says, one who regularly here's more than regularly, it's always, although it's not in the word for word, ya etat kirtayet chants. Ya etat kirtayet mayam, anyone who chants about these activities of tvayam gitam idam naraha. Tvam cha mam cha, about you or me. So he's very affectionate to Prahlad. He's placing Prahlad first, the activities of you or activities of you in relation to me. So it's actually the other way around. It's the activities of Lord Nrisingadev or the one who is intimately connected to Lord Nrisingadev, but Lord Nrisingadev is so kind, he's putting Prahlad first and himself second. But there's enormous potency in the activities and the glories of the pure devotee of the Lord. In South India, Lord Nrisingadev is one of the most popular deities. How many temples and persons who are Nrisinga Bhaktas, even within ISKCON, all the glorification that we have from Srimad Bhagavatam on Radha and Krishna, and there's many devotees, they're Nrisinga Bhaktas. I mean, it doesn't mean Krishna's in the back seat or something, but they have special affection for Lord Nrisingadev. Special affection for Lord Nrisingadev. There's something just like in Brahma Samhita prayers, the position of Lord Nrisingadev is identified indirectly in terms of Ganesh. Now, those of us from America, we don't know so much about Ganesh because Prabhupada didn't give us Ganesh worship. But people that are from India, Ganesh is a very important personality to be worshipped because he removes obstacles. And when you want to get something, it's important to get the obstacles removed. So you worship Ganesh to get the obstacles removed so you can receive or attain what you want. Your desires can be fulfilled. In the Brahma Samhita, very nice description that the tumalai, the two little protrusions on the top of the head of Ganesh, are how he receives his capacity to remove obstacles. Because he places these two tumalai at the feet of Govinda. And our commentary says specifically the expansion of Govinda in the form of Lord Nrisingadev, because Lord Nrisingadev removes obstacles too, like, you know, Hiranyakashipu kind of obstacles. Both outside, Bahir Nrisingo, Hridaye Nrisingo. He takes care of both. The outside and the inside. And especially important is the inside. So the ability, say it again, the capacity for Ganesh to remove obstacles comes from Lord Nrisingadev. And everything that exists comes from the Absolute Truth, and the form of Lord Nrisingadev is a Vishnu Tattva form. He has his abode in Vaikuntha, and sometimes he appears to protect Prahlad. And so the activities of Prahlad and the activities of Lord Nrisingadev have immense potency for removing obstacles. Just hearing about them. That's our Bhagavat Dharma process. It's the foundation of it is hearing and chanting. And the foundation of the hearing and chanting is the glories and the potencies of the personality of Godhead. And specifically mentioned in the verse, Tvamcha Mamcha Svaran Kale Karma Bandhat
Pramuchyate.
Pramuchyate means becomes freed. One becomes freed from karma bandhanat, the bondage of fruitive activity. And that bondage of fruitive activity, even if we take up devotional service, so of those, not just in Kali Yuga today, but you know the scripture describes very, very rare, you know, the pyramid kind of example. Very, very rare is it to find living entities, souls, that take up devotional service. It's very rare within the world. For ages, it's like that. So amongst those that take up devotional service, this tendency, deep tendency for fruitive activity still remains, generally. It's rare for it to go away. So that means mixed devotion. We take up devotional service for the purpose of achieving something. Now, it's a very logical question to ask. Who does something when they don't do that something to get something? Who does something when you're not doing that something to get something? What's that? You know, just take it down a little level and, you know, karma yoga, but to speak of shuddha bhakti, just karma yoga. Engage in your prescribed duties without attachment. So like, you know, how many people will go to work if they don't get a paycheck? I don't know too many people that will engage in their prescribed duty without a paycheck, without a reward. So now to go back up, to engage in devotional service without any expectation. It's almost like not human. But the transcendental position of the soul, shuddha bhakti, is beyond human. It's transcendental, fully transcendental. So there is an impetus. The impetus is the impetus of love. That is the happiness of the beloved. So we're not there yet. For most of us, at least. We're not there yet. There's a motive. And what does that motive do? It blocks the power of bhakti. Bhakti is all-powerful, like Krishna is all-powerful. At the same time, this fruitive activity, or using the metaphor of Bhaktivinoda Thakur from Harinam Chintamani, the mist of ignorance and the clouds of anarthas act within the heart to block the sun. Even when the sun is shining in your heart, the sun of the holy name is shining, the clouds of anarthas and the mist of ignorance block. They have the power to block the power of the name. And the name is all-powerful. So Krishna invests the power in ignorance and anarthas. So this anartha, where we have a separate interest, a core anartha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches us, is this anartha of seeing the name of Krishna and Krishna separate. Now we know it's philosophically, we know it's not. Abhinatam Nama Namino. We know the name and Krishna are not different. Just like, you know, the glories of Lord Nrisingadeva and the glories of Prahlad Maharaj, they're not different than the Lord himself, and one who contacts the Lord himself can become freed from this karma bandhat. Karma bandhanat. Karma bandhat. After some time. So, therefore, sadhana. Sadhana is constantly to be practiced. Regularly, without cessation, and with faith. This is a nice description from Patanjali Yoga Sutras. I've been hearing about this. There's power in the holy... Krishna is all-powerful. He doesn't need anything. So just chanting the holy name once has the power to deliver one to the stage of perfection. But we're carrying anartas in our heart. And the anartas have the power to block the power of the name. And so we need to chant the name regularly, or as it's saying here, hear and chant the glories of Prahlad and Nrisingadeva, and regularly recite the prayers of Prahlad. Within the prayers of Prahlad, for starters, there's total humility. That's a good place to start. Associate with one who is totally humble and you can become more humble. Because humility is a necessity to receive something of value, something, what to speak, of transcendental value, even worldly value. Because otherwise, if the heart is not humble, you receive something valuable, you'll misuse it. Use it for something that's detrimental to yourself or others. Like technology. Technology is very dangerous in the hands of a fool. Now again, if we had the technology to hear a recording of Lord Nrisingadeva speaking these messages to Prahlad Maharaj, that'd be a good use of technology. But there's a bad use. With anything. So the objects of this world are not inherently good or bad. It's the consciousness of the person who's got a hold of those things of this world that makes the use of those things good or bad, because of the consciousness. So the starting point of spiritual consciousness is humility. Otherwise, why are we going to regularly do anything? Because I'm already, you know, I want to enjoy. The previous verse speaks specifically about the negative tendencies in the heart are destroyed by the happiness of bhakti. Actually, it says it the other way around. While you're in this material world, you will exhaust all the reactions of pious activities by feeling happiness. Because the reactions of pious activities provides the fruit of piety. It provides something that someone whose heart is not pure, they may wish to be the enjoyer of. For those devotional service brings a happiness that defeats that. It's far more attractive. Devotional happiness is far more attractive and compelling than the happiness of enjoying the fruits of pious activities. So, the Bhagavat Dharma, the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, is this process of hearing and chanting. It starts, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. And the emphasis that Prabhupada goes directly to in the purport is this is anyone, everyone is eligible. Like this verse at the end that quoted by Jiva Goswami apparently in his commentary, either on this verse directly or in some place. Evidence it's logical evidence. He proceeds using strong logic. Although it's not conclusive, there's scriptural evidence, and how that scriptural evidence applies is used with strong logic. The strong logic is this verse from the 11th canto, Bhagavatam, where even a person who is born in a family of meat-eaters can become purified if they engage in devotional service, is logical evidence to support what Lord Srinivasa is saying in this verse. Anyone who chants, because that's devotional service, and remembers the glories of Prahlad and Lord Nrsingadeva, it will cut through, it'll break the reactions to material activities, that those clouds of anartas in the mist of ignorance can become eliminated by sadhana bhakti. Even if one is very sinful, even if one is born in a low family or family of meat eaters, etc., etc., there's no bhakti. Ultimately, bhakti is more powerful. Bhakti has the power to dissipate the blocking power of our anartas. But the right intention must be there, not just mechanically do and I go on with holding on to my other intentions. The intention has to move to the point, must move to the point where, other than these four reasons why people engage in devotional service, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, there's four reasons why people initially engage in devotional service. They want relief of distress. They want some economic betterment. They're curious. They want knowledge. I want. One has to come to the position where the purpose changes from those four to a fifth. The fifth is the happiness of Krishna. You know, the position of love, the position of bhakti, where my wish, I'm not there yet, but I wish that my activity becomes pleasing to the Supreme Lord. I wish that He will be pleased by my existence and what I do and whatever it is that I offer. The intention is an intention of pleasing the beloved Krishna. So that's what we want. That's bhakti. And when that want is there, the mind can be fixed. And that leads into the two verses from chapter 2 that are quoted. And I'll just summarize this and then we'll end and see if there's discussion. So the verses that are quoted are both from chapter 2, text 15 and text 56. The emphasis on 2:15 is being undisturbed when there's duality. And specific reference to duality is sukha and dukkha. So there's, it's important to be neutral towards material happiness as well as material distress. Material happiness meaning senses, context, sense objects, and one goes, you know, that's nice. Now I'm feeling happy. During the last few days, I've been discussing this pastime of the killing of Vritrasura. And because it's the Bhagavatam specifically describes, it's one of the unique features of the Bhagavatam, the killing of Vritrasura. And in the course of the killing of Vritrasura, the weapon that killed Vritrasura was the thunderbolt that was fashioned by Vishwakarma from the bones of Didichi. And it's so the Didichi gave Brahmavidya to the Ashwini Kumaras. It's a long, so I can't go into it. So just making reference, because I've been speaking about that, the position of Vritrasura was fixed. Sukha and dukkha. Sukha, you know, being in his previous life, he was a king. Not only he was a king, but he became so elevated during his lifetime, he went from the earthly planet to Vidyadhara Loka and became the ruling person in Vidyadhara Loka in the heavenly realm. He was way up there. And then he got cursed to become a demon. So he didn't go from being happy and then sad. He was fixed. And how did he become fixed? His devotion to the personality of Godhead. He was on the topmost platform of devotion, and Ritrasura's prayers show it. In contrast, Indra, who was the opponent of Ritrasura, was constantly in this narration. Now he's happy, then he's sad, then he's happy, then he's sad, then he's happy, then he's sad. And it's all in relation to the position and his opulence and his heavenly kingdom and all temporal and asat. Trishna, thirst for the impermanent, that's ignorance. When there's ignorance, if you thirst for the impermanent, it blocks the power of bhakti. It blocks the power of the name and the pastimes and the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indra went to Lord Vishnu. He saw Lord Vishnu, but he was still carrying asat Trishna, a thirst for the impermanent. So he's asking Lord Vishnu how to get his kingdom back. And Lord Vishnu gives him the means to get his kingdom back, to get this thunderbolt to kill Vritrasura so he can get his kingdom back. But Vritrasura says, our Lord, we have the same Lord, Indra, you and I. Our Lord never encourages his devotee to do these asat Trishna activities, dharma, artha, kama, or moksha. But Indra couldn't hear it. He had beans in his ears. He had asat Trishna in his heart. Although the message was there, he couldn't hear the message. He's a devotee. He's a devotee that experiences duality because there's thirst for the impermanent in his heart. There's another motivation in his service to Vishnu, his material happiness through fruit of activities. It's very unfortunate. But Vishnu is very kind. He continues to engage Indra and help him, as Krishna will also continue to engage a mixed devotee and help that devotee. But hearing these messages, so that you know that sukha and dukkha position, being indifferent to sukha and dukkha, is only possible if consciousness is fixed in transcendence. Otherwise, you can't go there. You can't reach that state. You're always going to be in the sukha and dukkha program, the dualities, and moved by it. So 2.15 says, the person who is not disturbed by happiness, and distress, and is steady in both, is certainly eligible for liberation. So that's the mukti stage, liberation from duality. 2.56 goes even further. In spite of the threefold miseries, one who is not elated when there is happiness, and is freed from attachment, fear, and anger, is called the person of steady mind. So the mind is a place where desires come in. There's this sense over here that says, I want, and there's that sense over there that says, I don't like. And then there's the mind that feels, you know, I'm feeling this today, and I'm feeling that tomorrow, and The one of steady mind is one who's indifferent to those things. You can't be indifferent to those things. You can tolerate those things, but you can't be indifferent to those things without the sthita dhimuni is the person whose consciousness is fixed on transcendence, upon the personality of God. So how do you get there? That's a very nice attainment. What's the means? That's the prayojana. What's the abhideya? How do you get there? It's the hearing and chanting with faith, regularly, remembering that which we have heard, we then remember, and then we live our lives accordingly because it's inside. And then we can, as Prabhupada is saying it so nicely, we can expertly manage material life. Because material life has duality. It has this and that, sometimes and sometimes. So we manage the sometimes and the sometimes expertly if your consciousness is fixed on the Supreme. How does that happen? By proper hearing and chanting. That's the Bhagavat Dharma method. Lord Nrisimhadeva is telling us also, besides Rupa Goswami and others who are summarizing the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So I'll end and see if there's some discussion.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. The emphasis on hearing and chanting, and you explain the Bhagavad Dharma process is pretty much highlighted. And anyway, we hear throughout the philosophy that is the most important process, you know, for us. However, Prabhupada also introduced this Pancharatrika Vidhi, and if you can explain or clarify the emphasis in these two paths, Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatrika Vidhi, and how important is for us, or what is the balance that we have to have with those, with these two processes, in our, you know, performance of devotional service.
I'll keep it simple. They're both important. One is more important. One is the hearing and chanting is the foundation of the other. Like, for example, when Srila Prabhupada brought Krishna consciousness to the Western countries, it didn't start with deity worship, it started with hearing and chanting. And then, through the purification that comes from hearing and chanting, then deity worship. And the essence in deity worship is you hear and chant before, you hear and chant during, and you hear and chant after. Without the hearing and chanting, it's not going to deliver the potential that deity worship can deliver. One will likely have a misconception or simply become lazy or whatever. So they're both important. Emphasis is given in several places, Second Canto Bhagavatam in particular. The importance of deity worship, it helps us embodied souls to apply the material conception of body to the Lord and that thus become purified, and regulation and so many other beneficial cleanliness. It helps lift our consciousness, so it's important. The importance of deity worship has its foundation in hearing and chanting. You sequentially, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam comes before Archanam. It precedes. And it supports. And the deity worship helps us do our hearing and chanting better. But it comes sequentially, chronologically. Hearing and chanting is first. If there's nothing else, you hear and chant. as an example, just a historical example, book distributors very dedicated to serving Srila Prabhupada by distributing books would go out for, you know, months and months and months at a time just distributing books and not visit a temple. That era has changed somewhat. Those devotees would on occasion ask Prabhupada, should we bring a deity and put on our vehicle? And Prabhupada said, just make your books your deity. So portents-wise, the hearing and chanting. Okay. Someone else? Here comes the microphone.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. The verse which was saying, like, we should tolerate duality, the material happiness and material distress, fixing our mind. So I was thinking, when the Vrijvasis was facing the problem with Indra during the Govardhan Leela, so they immediately approached to Krishna. So fixing the mind does also means to take shelter of the Lord?
Sure. That's not a hindrance.
And we also should be tolerant. So I was trying to understand, what is the meaning of tolerance to face the duality?
What's the meaning of tolerance in the face of duality?
Yep.
That's your question?
Yep.
Well, there's different levels of tolerance in the face of duality. One is the kind of, you know, bite the bullet kind of tolerance, just like endure the tolerance, like being a stoic or something. Then there's higher kinds of tolerance, and that is knowledge, you recognize it's asat. So you, by knowledge, the strength of transcendental knowledge, one can withdraw consciousness from asat and then invest consciousness in sat. It's at a higher level of tolerance. And then there's a higher level of tolerance, like, for example, Haridas Thakur. He was so absorbed in the holy name, he was oblivious. He was not affected. Prahlad, similarly, not affected by duality, either the happiness or the, you know, the, or the misery, you know, the danger of being in the material world. Just that, so that's the higher level of tolerance. So there's gradations. When it's really hot, just as practical example, when it's really, really hot or really, really cold, what are you going to do? When it's really cold, you can bundle up. When it's really hot, you turn on the fan or something. But still, it's, what are you going to do? So to a degree, you tolerate the circumstance. And that becomes then an impetus. The result of that is sense control, to at least to a degree, the control of the mind, and then therefore control of the senses, and then at least the possibility of contemplating something higher. Or do it the other way. By contemplating something higher, it makes the tolerance come naturally. When one is intolerant, then it's difficult to contemplate the higher or transcendence because the mind is always going to the lower. We get distracted. So instead, we tolerate. That's the instruction. You can tolerate that irritation for something higher, for a higher purpose. like a, you know, a child going to school when they want to play, because there's a higher purpose. Yes.
Maharaj, you mentioned to fix the consciousness on Krishna. So what I'm understanding while reading Bhagavad Gita, that once we fix the consciousness on Krishna, our subtle senses like mind, intelligence, it get purified. But at the same time, Krishna is saying that mind and intelligence are not the cause of bhakti to me, because
mind and intelligence
are not cause of devotion to me, because they're
not the cause of
devotion, bhakti.
Devotion, bhakti. To me, they're not the cause of devotion.
Directly, because they're the product.
You ask these really intricate questions, so I have to hear very carefully every word. So you're going slowly, I appreciate it, but don't mind me saying back, because I want to make sure I got your question.
Sure. So mind and intelligence
are not the cause of bhakti.
Bhakti, because they are the product of mode of goodness, sattva guna. So,
well, mode of passion and mode of goodness. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Keep mode going. Of goodness, primarily, that's what I know.
No. Well, intelligence is the product of the mode of passion. When false ego contacts, let's not get stuck on a detail. You have a bigger question. According to the process of creation described in third canto Bhagavatam, when false ego mixes with the mode of passion, then material intelligence separates out from pradhan. Keep going.
Yeah, so how to understand this thing, because you told to fix the consciousness on Krishna, and once we fix the consciousness on Krishna, the mind and intelligence are involved.
Yes.
At the same time, they are not cause of bhakti to Krishna.
What's that? So they're not. It's not a problem. What's the problem? So let me ask you a question. Lust has different sitting places. Yes? According to Bhagavad Gita. Where are those different sitting places of lust? Yeah. So that needs... They're material. They're not the cause of bhakti, but they're instruments, material instruments that are blunt and contaminated. So they need to be purified also. So the best way to purify them is to fix your consciousness upon the Supreme. Let's take the example of chanting. We chant every day. The intelligence says, chant. The mind says, okay. The mouth starts to go and sound comes out. And our consciousness is somewhere else. So the mind goes somewhere else. And the purpose for which we're chanting also becomes dull. So the way to fix that problem is we draw our consciousness to Krishna, connect our consciousness. That's who we are. And following that goes the mind and the intelligence. Rewarded intelligence, how to do that. The mind can become fixed. And that's just like this verse, Stittir Muni. It's through bhakti, the power of bhakti. It's not created by the mind and intelligence, but they need to be purified too. Is that all right?
We are using them as a cause instrument.
Yeah, and we is the conscious self. So that the consciousness needs to be directed, not just do the activity of chanting or any other activity, book distribution or deity worship or any other activity, any of the bhakti activities. We require directing our consciousness to the Supreme in order for the mind and intelligence to similarly become purified.
Let's say the soul is pure, totally conscious, is pure sentience of the soul comes out after performing the bhakti.
Yeah.
Then the mind and intelligence, what happens with
that? Well, let's be a little clear since you're asking a very analytical question. Let's be very clear. When we're doing the bhakti, that's an activity which isn't necessarily bhakti proper. You understand the distinction I'm making? Bhakti is the devotion along with the activity. We can be doing the activity, but our consciousness is out to lunch. Isn't it possible? Sure. So, doing the activity of bhakti to make your analytical intelligence satisfied, that the activity has to be connected with the right intention. Your attention goes where your intention goes. That's your consciousness. Direct your consciousness to Krishna. That's where bhakti flows from. And the other is, as you said, it's instrumental. We use them. Don't we?
Once the soul becomes
totally... You're trying again. Is it?
No, I'm just... it's the last question. So it's not that the soul is totally pure, the mind and subtle body disappears. It doesn't happen like that.
You said it too fast. I didn't...
Okay. If the soul becomes totally pure...
The soul becomes
totally
what?
Sentient. Pure consciousness comes in the soul.
Pure consciousness comes in the soul.
So, at the time...
Well, that, you know, that the language, pure consciousness comes in the soul. Let's do it the other way. The pure consciousness of the soul becomes freed from the covering.
At the time, mind and intelligence disappear, or it goes into soul?
They become purified. Then they act in a spiritual way. Just like, you know, a copper wire that's connected to electricity. It acts like electricity. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence become spiritualized. They act in spiritual ways. The dull covering feature of mind and intelligence becomes transformed into, they act in a spiritual way. The spiritual mind rules instead of the material mind rules. Spiritual intelligence, you know, that which Krishna says he'll give to one who's constantly engaged. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Intelligence also be... Spiritual intelligence rules. The other is a shadow. Okay? He asks tough questions. Anyone else? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you mentioned from this verse yesterday where Lord Nrsingadeva is saying, while you are in this material world, you will exhaust all the reactions of pious activity by feeling happiness, and by acting piously you will neutralize impious activity. Another question came up yesterday. Prahlad Maharaj mentioned earlier he's being sent to this world as a pure devotee to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. So what is the meaning that he would be exhausting the reactions of pious activity or neutralizing impious activity?
What's instructive to us? So, you know, a pure devotee will also be doing, by nature, he'll be doing activities that are pious. And from acting with, like the Pandavas, or, you know, great devotees, they follow Dharma. And because they follow Dharma, there's the fruits of Dharma. So, or Ambarish Maharaj or something. They do something that produces fruits of piety. So the tendency for happiness of those things becomes eclipsed, trying to be the enjoyers of those things by the happiness of bhakti. That's the meaning.
Like the Pandavas be performing a karma because it's in transcendence, would it still have a reaction?
Yes, at the same time they were considering, you know, what is to be done, what is not to be done, how to act properly according to Dharma. It's adharma, or no, there's karma-free activity, but the consideration of what and what not to be done is the codes of Dharma. Same for us. That they guide us. We should live according to those codes. Okay. We'll stop there. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki.